Das war ein super geklatscht. Und Action! Try to mute our intro sound, which didn't quite work out. I liked it. So this is Far Radio, the talk show, the first English edition and the 74th edition. Wow, of all. Pretty. Welcome.
Welcome to SomboCom.
Yes, we actually we thought we'd try, as we are not as English is not our oops, bless you.
Thanks.
Is not our I do it in hip mutter language.
Mm-hmm.
But we do it anyway because we and you two might have recognized that some magazines go international, and that's why they use the international language number one, which is English.
The lingua franca.
Si.
Okay, this was a very slow start, actually, so I hope we haven't lost too many listeners in our first 3 minutes. So I can spy with my little eye that you have opened a bottle of beer.
Yes. It's dark beer, Lambsbräu, Neumarkter Lambsbräu, Lambsbrew. Organic, of course, and dark. Because I'm really into dark beer. And actually my wife, first time in my life I sent my wife buy beer.
Uh-huh.
And I told her buy the dark one, and as for some strange reason that I won't explain, she had to leave the trolley and get off fast from the supermarket, so I went to the supermarket, fetched the trolley an hour later, which was still there, and saw that she bought dark beer with no alcohol. I haven't seen that ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally these alcohol-free, or how do they call it, those natives over there, you know, who...
Non-alcoholic?
Non-alcoholic, probably. Mm-hmm. Okay, and she she bought them because she didn't recognize that there's non-alcoholic on it. But anyway, because I have never seen that before, I thought, good idea. I do a degustation of all that stuff. Then I bought another few benchmark beers. Of course, I was there. And now I had the alcohol-free for lunch. Not for lunch, for dinner. Which tastes a bit like malt beer, but not that sweet. You know that Kinder beer?
That's disgusting.
Yes. Yes, you're true. But that alcohol-free dark beer is not disgusting. It's quite all right. A bit too malty. So that's why I have the classic dark beer here. And that's it for the my beer at the moment. What do you drink?
Another coffee.
I'm drinking water from the Soda Stream, overcarbonated, and I found it in the
from the tap fountain.
Pardon?
From the tap fountain.
Yes, from the tap fountain. But actually, I found a bottle of self-carbonized water on the was heißt Regal?
Shelf, huh?
On the shelf, which must have been there for 3 weeks.
And still carbonized.
Yes. So, à la vôtre.
Mm. Salut. Do you remember that Next Generation episode?
With Jean-Luc Picard?
Yeah, where he was on Earth, actually, visiting his brother. He's got a winery. And they sat there on a table. And they held their glasses and they said salut when they said skull.
So when you're in France, do as the French do.
The what?
The French.
Ah, Frenchy. Yeah. but salut.
All right, welcome new listeners from we have we were featured in our favorite magazine. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
In the German Cycle magazine, Das Bike and Style magazine. Which is my favorite bike magazine in German language. So, and they wrote nice things about us. Did you read them?
Yes, I read that I have to, for our international listeners, I have to translate it to English, and they said that it's what was quite charming, that they said that some episodes are like a long, slow river.
Yes.
Do people asleep, fall asleep actually, when they listen to Far Radio?
I'm sure they do. Because many people listen to podcasts when they're in bed or while traveling. I hope they don't fall asleep when they travel by car, but I don't mind them or you, dear listeners, falling asleep while you're, say, on the train or on the plane, because if you if you wake up and realize that you are 40 minutes in the podcast, you can always rewind and listen from the beginning due to the nature of the internet.
All right. I think that internet.
Pardon?
And...
Oh, sorry. Did I interrupt
you?
No.
Because if there are any of these cycle readers that listen to us for the first time, we have listeners that are quite open-minded. Of course, we do have what we found out last episode, that we have a certain reader profile that is female, between 25 and 29 years old.
Yes.
But there are others, not that those females are not open-minded, but there are others. And that's why it don't feel disturbed that we talk English and we're not English or British or American or South African or Australian or whatever. It is sort of an experiment.
So if you want to listen to a German podcast, just listen to the last episode number...
Or the next.
Or the next, or both. Or if you have some time to spare, just start at episode number one. Why not? Which is definitely in German. And some years ago.
Cool.
All right.
So we have like the 75th the next.
Cool. I have to apologize to our listener Tom from the United States. And he wrote an email that he went to our website, wanted to listen to the latest episode of the podcast, and was greeted with a pop-up that demanded of him to sign up for our brand new newsletter.
So he was actually pissed.
Yes, he was pissed. Because he's... Well, he said he
was polite, wasn't he, when in his email?
No, he wouldn't listen to our podcast again, because he hates those windows and has noticed that they are the latest marketing fad, and they pop up on every site, and they are... Well, they annoy him, and he doesn't think we need those pop up. What he didn't know is that you already told me that you don't like those pop ups as well.
You mean me?
Yes, you, Thomas. And to be quite...
The thing is that on a standard computer, it is annoying, but not that annoying as on the iPhone. Because
all right.
Because if you go to a website and then these windows, you have to scroll and scrub and find out where is that fucking button to get rid of that thing, because... I don't know whether if you signed in for a newsletter, it pops up the next time again.
I'm afraid it will.
Yes. Yeah, and that is annoying. So I sign in. Okay, newsletter, all right, because it is nice. I like that site and the guys that do it, and they are both very smart. One's got a mustache at the moment, the other not. And but then it pops up again and again. Are you into Movember?
No.
Or is it just the cool looks?
Ah. This is just regular looks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I took this this pop-up off, and we don't need it. So if you like to be spammed with email from us, well, I promise we won't spam. But actually, I don't really know whether we should have a newsletter at all. I'll see into that. Just sign up so we know who listens to us, and there's still a sign up box on the website, but you can safely ignore it and just listen to our podcast.
Or look at those Facebook, our Facebook site. What do we have else? Do we have a Tumblr?
No, we don't have a Tumblr.
Instagram?
We're on Twitter.
Yes, on Twitter. And so that's a good thing to just step into business. I've got no idea whether this is good English, but anyway, we should start now.
Yes.
And we... Because sometimes just to for you listeners and for me to remind the good and the bad things, I just posted on the Facebook site. And I don't know whether I've posted it, but you should, if you haven't, watch Kaleidoscope with Chris Kyle, which is a BMXer. We are a bit more into BMX the last two episodes, probably. But even the Stern,
mm-hmm.
a German magazine, with, I mean, it's popular. But even they noticed that is a brilliant video. Made with money by Red Bull and a brilliant driver, Chris Kyle, who does amazing things on a BMX bike, which looks so easy. And it reminds me a bit to on Tron and arcade games or whatever. It's just, it's 5 minutes of... And it's got good music, because it actually reminds on the Imaginate by Danny McGaskill video 2, which was done by Red Bull 2, but with awful music. And they have good music. Have a listen? Have okay. a listen.
Oh, all right.
Stupid, huh?
So... It actually, the colors remind me, and the choreography remind me of Pinball Wizard from the...
The Who?
The Who. What's it called? Tommy, the movie.
Yeah.
Because it's orange, red, and another color?
But Tommy is overrated, isn't it?
Don't know. So I turned on the volume again, so we
have you found out the singer already?
Pardon?
Have you found out the singer already?
No, I haven't looked it up.
So it's nice. It's really nice, and it's not like there are no explosions and there are no triple whatever flips and stuff. It's so easy and so unreal.
It doesn't look that dangerous, does it?
No.
Well, yes, 5 minutes good. Of BMX flow. We as always, we have the link in our show notes.
And when we... Hans? How should I call you Hans?
Sure.
as we are with small wheels, we go to even smaller wheels. Brompton has updated their website, and Brompton will expand. You know that Brompton is Britain's largest bicycle production?
With the smallest bicycles?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, as Brompton is Britain's largest bicycle manufacturer, this says a lot about the bicycle industry in Britain. Not that I want to, like, say something about that, but Brompton does 30,000 bicycles a year. Mm-hmm. And they have a demand for way more.
And probably Brompton is the British bike industry is larger than that of Austria, or of probably even, no, not Switzerland.
Might be. Do you make any sounds in the background at the moment?
That's the Brompton video.
Ah, okay. Because as I told you, Brompton has a bit problems with space, because Brompton is 30 years old, meanwhile, the company, and they are in the middle, or sort of in the middle, wherever the middle of London is. They are in London, and they produce in London. They brace their bicycles, which is a very typical British, I call it attitude. And a few years ago, I listened to an interview with the do they call them, if you are a sir, could you still be a CEO?
Sure.
But anyway, the founder of Brompton, and they said, okay, they stick with the 30,000. They are content with the 30,000 bicycles a year, but they have sort of 8 buildings where they produce and have the people sitting who do the marketing and everything. And the demand is that high that they decided to have one new building, which they found it a bit, it is still London, but it is not in directly in London, but a bit more, got no idea where. Mm-hmm. London, it is still London, but it's way larger. And at the moment they have the Black Edition bicycles, which what means that every part on the bicycle, every like brakes and levers and seat posts that normally are silver are black. There are certain frame colors that they give as an option, that you can have them in orange, in black, in white, and red, and things like that. And as these special editions are so popular, Guy Ritchie thought, we have a video, a video competition. So go to the Brompton website, look at that video where they actually land in that new, they ride around with some Bromptons in London.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, if you look the video and stay there till the end, which is not hard because it's quite good.
And short.
Then you will see the new factory, which is pretty large. And if you join the video contests, there, I think you should post a video of unseen places in your city, whatever your city is. It might be Hamburg, it might be Bamberg, London, Sydney, Newcastle, Salzburg.
Mm-hmm.
Strunz, Chagunz.
Strullendorf.
Strullendorf. Ittingen, wherever. I think 15 seconds or something like that. Pretty short, really short. And the idea is, as far as I've seen it, because I didn't get really deep into the topic yet. And I think they out of these short movies, they will make a bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
As I told you, Guy Ritchie is one of the guys who's editing that thing, and a few more. I don't want to go to the website at the moment, but it's pretty interesting. And if you go to the website, you can see the brazers, and you can see the people. Because you think Brompton. I mean, what do they do with Bromptons? There's nothing happening with Bromptons. That's what you might think. But it isn't. Brompton is... there are things happening. They have accessories. They have bags and all that stuff. And they are not just batch engineered. They are made for Brompton. And it's quite interesting. So... go there to the Brompton site. We are not sponsored.
I didn't want to interrupt your raving, actually, what Brompton is quite interesting because they have they built what's it called there the amount of parts on the Brompton bicycle, the amount of parts on the bicycles that are made by Brompton are higher than on many other bicycles, because as far as I know, they make the gear, the shifting, the shifting levers are made, or even the whole gear.
They have more and more parts that they make themselves.
They make themselves. I think they make the brakes, or they did make brakes themselves.
They have them branded, but somebody else does it for them. But to their specifications, they call it bespoked, because it's actually made to fit their bikes and their needs, or the customers' needs, and the price probably. Then
so they don't just grab into a.
You just learned that word a few minutes ago.
Which word?
The shelf.
Ah, no. No, I wanted to say just they don't just grab into a box full of brakes or gear shifters. They get from a company in Japan or China. They have them made especially for their bicycles. Which actually doesn't make me like the bicycles more, because I don't know, I don't like Bromptons that much. I think they are not very comfortable to ride. What do you think?
I mean, they are all right. They have style. And what they have their special sort of customers, and in the last, I think, 5 years or so, they with the world order changing a tiny wee bit towards bicycles, away from cars in cities, they get with their boutique concepts and things, they get really popular because they are small.
Yeah, they are.
We talked with Thomas Burns, you remember, who said that the Actually, the Brompton is small, but and rides good in respect of the that it's very small.
Yeah, and it's
and it's no Moulton.
Yeah, it's the smallest and well, it folds into a very small package, which is actually very practical when you're traveling, when you're commuting with a bicycle and the train, for example. You don't have to pay for your bicycle. Which brings us to the next topic, shall we?
I just switched on the Hummingbird.com website.
Ah.
We are still on small wheels and we are still on 16 inch.
Oh, okay.
16, because the Brompton has 16 inch wheels. And there is another company, a small Kickstarter campaign. Small, what I mean is small in money, a little bit, because they only want to get £75,000, I think. And it's a folding bicycle that reminds me a bit to Bromptons. I mean, all folding bicycles remind a bit to Bromptons. You like your glasses, Hansa.
Yeah.
I don't think that it will become a will get an iconic design in bike. Pardon me, but stop, Hans, stop.
It's hard to stop because the website is so horrible.
Annoying, yeah, annoying. And the thing is, interesting in German. Interesting is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
If you said that we won't talk about women there. If you said that bicycle or that car looks interesting, you avoid to say it's ugly. And the Hummingbird
is interesting.
Is interesting.
All right. Although the idea is
all right. I mean, a 6 point something kilogram for a complete bicycle is all right, and it's a nice idea. And I mean, they are in London, where it rains pretty often. So, isn't it annoying to get wet? They have very, very thin tires.
So if the water sprays against your back, it will be laser sharp and cut you in half. This is how it will work. So,
well, if it rains, you just leave it under your desk.
The other thing, it's always the same with iconic designs. What they always forget on iconic designs are those practical things like
and
fenders.
Yeah, yeah. So they might be ugly, but the Brompton has them.
The Brompton, yes, the Brompton has everything. The Brompton is a real bicycle, a complete
without
bicycle.
A light, actually.
Without a light?
Yeah.
Ah, all right.
Doesn't have a light.
Well, the Brompton looks like it had a light. It could have a light, and I wouldn't notice it because in all those between all those tubes and cables, I wouldn't notice it. So they could just as well fit a light somewhere.
They have battery lights special made for them that fit on the C tube and on their. Oh, they have that one very ugly bar. It's sort of a multi-bend.
Yeah.
Handlebar, but anyway.
So, do you remember the Mando Footloose bike?
Yes. We should still give some statements about the bike, haven't we?
I don't know. Did we talk about it?
We wanted to, because we had it for a while to test it, which is very kind of the German distributor for the Mando. And we had it for a while.
Yes, and in the Mando, it was the second edition of the chainless bicycle, and the second edition is actually called Mando Footloose IM, and IM stands for Iconic Mobility. So you
and it looks interesting.
No, it doesn't look interesting. It might just look iconic. It might look more iconic than what's it called? The Hummingbird.
But it's ugly too.
Well, if you but it's complete. It's more reduced than the Hummingbird or any other small compact bicycle, because it has those five spoke aluminium wheels. Yeah. It has 20-inch wheels. The ride is fantastic. It feels if you can go fast. It feels
geometry.
It feels stable. It fits sizes from 1-4. We have metric sizes here from 1.40 meters to 1.93 meters.
Yeah. No, honestly, it comes with
ugly battery lighting, which shoved into a cardboard box, and you don't want to mount those lights because they are so ugly.
You don't want to mount the computer either.
All right,
but you need to ride.
Yes, the computer.
That's a shame. A bit.
The computer, or how they called it,
human
machine interface, which would be great if they had just put away with it, because you don't need it. It's a. They have, I counted them, they have 12 options to ride, to pedal and to ride on the e-bike. It's an e-bike with a generator in front and an engine in the back. We won't go that much into it, but it's...
Our listeners might know the Mando, because it's... We thought it might be a few years ago, 3 years ago actually, or something like that. We thought that it would be the iPhone
of the bicycle.
Of the bicycle, and it is not. Not yet.
Not yet. Well, they might still. I won't give up. And they. Actually, if you get used to the kind of ride, and you accept that it just doesn't feel doesn't ride like a classic bicycle, you might as well enjoy it.
It is like for us. We are used to ride bicycles. I talked with many people, and we are used to ride bicycles and you push the pedal and you have an instant reaction.
Yes.
Which the Mando doesn't give you. If you're not used to that, that's... you told me that in South Korea, they're not used to bicycling that much as we are here. And so they are fine with it. They think that's bicycling. And for me, it felt like a bit like... I play bicycling.
it's
a bit. I pedal. I could pedal, but I don't have to pedal that much. And pedaling is annoying because it doesn't feel good, and so you won't pedal that much because you just pedal a bit. And that's it. And if we because that comes into my mind at the moment when we think about the iPhone and that gearless, chainless, and brilliant idea compared with the iPhone, then I think about Mark Newson, who works for Apple meanwhile.
Mm-hmm.
And built the first Biomega bicycle. Do you remember?
Was it the first?
At least the first that was worth a look.
Hmm. Did it have an iconic look?
It had an iconic look, and it is still iconic. It didn't sit good on it.
Biomega.
Do they still sell it?
They sell it again. They it's in the bike archive. What was it called? It had the name of a city.
Really? Not the Brooklyn. That thing is so...
Mark Newson.
Mark Newson Biomega. That might be a thing for...
Well, don't know the picture is missing on the website. But... Mando.
Wow, that is still good. It is from 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Biomega. It's called MN Bicycle.
Ah,
whatever
okay.
That means.
Mark Newson.
Mark Newson Bicycle, 1990. 1999. Which is a brilliant song by Prince, too, isn't it? And it is... it is stamped, I think. Stamped aluminium monocoque. And mm-hmm. You don't sit really good on it. It's a bit like the Philip Stark experience on an orange press or things like that. But it looks good. It looks really good.
So having moved to the Biomega website, shall we talk about the Oko? Which has larger wheels. We could just as well fill the rest of our time with small wheels because apparently...
It looks...
Well, it has. There is something to it. It looks.
Yes, but the thing is that it doesn't. It is such a poor quality. It has no surface. It's wobbling. Everything is wobbling on the thing. It looks like hand built papmaché. What is that called when you have one of these balloons where you put glue and paper around. What do you call that technique?
Papier-mâché? papier-mâché? Don't know. You know, you know what I think it looks like? It looks like one of those Chinese tin toy bicycles or motorbikes that you can buy in like toy shops. Those really cheap
icons. But it should be pink then.
Or green or whatever. No, the silver might be okay as well. It's those cars or bikes also have dents everywhere and have flattened sharp edges. So
looks like cheap yogurt.
Yeah. Well,
it's really disgusting.
It's not that expensive, but it isn't cheap either. The technology is not really forward looking.
Not space age technology.
No, it's not. It's no rocket science.
Not really. It's got like a cheap engine in the front, and it's front wheel driven, which is okay. It's all right, and a pretty small battery. But it's that bad. I wouldn't put a picture on a website of such a bike. Because it's carbon fiber. It's full carbon fiber. But obviously, I hope that they increase the quality. But it looks like somebody put it like live in 3D without any tooling.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's a homemade. Maybe they have a new 3D printer or something like that. It's
printed.
Looks very prototype-ish.
It could be a design feature too, but I don't like it.
So maybe we'll see it maybe we can see one in real life someday, and it won't look that bad.
The thing is that for whatever reason they stick to that frame design they had in 1999 on the Mark Newson model. There's no such thing. They talk about integration and things, but then they have their classic stem. Maybe it's like their DNA.
Well, they stuck to the diamond frame as well, so they wouldn't have had to do that. I mean, they use carbon fiber. It's a waste of material. So yeah. I'll close this window, and
yeah, it's annoying.
Move over to the next part. I bought a new bicycle. No, there's another. Well, strange looking bicycle.
That one that I found.
The one that I found, and the Piaggio Wii bike.
Piaggio has a bike?
Yes, they revealed their electric motor assisted Wii bike at the, what's it called? EICMA
in EICMA.
EICMA? In Milano today or yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's it called? V-bike?
V-bike, or Y-bike.
What does Google accept? Piaggio bike project? Because Piaggio had a pretty interesting, well, not too beautiful, but anyway.
Hola otra vez, seguimos en el Salón ECMA de Milán, estamos en el stand de Piaggio y aquí detrás hay dos novedades muy muy importantes, no solo para el mercado de Piaggio, para el mercado en general, para movilidad.
What is this Spanish guy talking about?
Director de marketing en España. Y creo que me puedes un poco presentar qué son estas dos bicicletas, motos, bicis.
No, son bicicletas con lo que se llama asistencia al pedaleo, ¿no? Es decir, que llevan un motor eléctrico que te ayuda hasta los 25 kilómetros por hora y a partir de ahí hay que darle pedales, ¿no? Pero hasta los 25 kilómetros por hora te ayuda, pues, a empujar, a empujar en las cuestas sobre todo, ¿no?
There it is, okay.
Well, what this Spanish guy just said that they have pedelecs. Mm-hmm. And apparently they are going on sale in the not too far future.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
they are based on the concept we saw last year.
Yeah, yeah.
They look very old fashioned. They look like a flyer from 1975. No, when did Flyer start selling their e-bikes? Well, like 2007.
The thing is that unfortunately the designers, maybe too many. I mean, look at that thin fork on that fat bike.
Ah, but they have an app. They have a. It's all powered and all it's all connected to a smartphone app.
Yes, yes. The technology might be all right, but look at that bulky computer that they have on their handlebar.
Yeah.
And because they haven't got any space left on the handlebar, they have whoever produces that front light that they mount on their fork there. And the forks are so thin with their heavy-looking frame. The idea is all right. They have connecting, and they have, I think they have sort of a keyless go system or something like that. At least they introduced it a while ago.
But it's always the same. If you have a keyless if a keyless go system on a car works. Because you won't be able to roll the car away, to take away the car. You won't be able to steal it. But if you have a keyless go on a bicycle, you still can't leave the bike, just stand on a street corner and walk away. Because the thieves won't know that you have a keyless go. They just don't care. They take the bike because it's not locked. But it's too light. They can just move it away.
But why Hans? Why is that bike so ugly? I mean,
maybe
they are a big company. They have money. And then you look at that thing, and it's just.
Wir haben etwas sehr Merkwürdiges aufzuklären.
Etwas sehr Merkwürdiges?
Stellen Sie sich vor, Monsieur Joe war ein Erpresser.
Nein.
Doch.
Oh.
Und wir haben bei Ihnen eine Liste der Leute gefunden, die von ihm erpresst worden sind.
Nein.
Doch.
Oh.
Und ich bin heute hier, weil Sie auf dieser Liste stehen.
Ich?
Sie.
Nein.
Doch.
Oh.
Meinst du, das finden wir heute nicht mehr raus?
Also man kann sich da sehr lang drüber unterhalten, befürchte ich. Also das ist
I switched to German. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because
I'm lost for words. So embarrassed about that.
So
ugly piece of bicycle and waste of money.
I mean, the
because the engine the might be good. Engine and technology might be really brilliant. Why not? I mean, they know what they do, and there is one idea on the Piaggio here on that. Do you will you put a link to the website?
Sure.
In our show notes, because what I really like is they have that one bicycle and they have some sort of how do you call these on motorcycle, these rucksack on the tank? The tank bags.
Mm-hmm.
Frame, they have something frame, like that on one bag. Of their bike.
Uh-huh.
And that is probably gaining popularity on mountain bikes too. Have you seen the On bike?
Yeah, I saw that. We don't have a link on bike.
That it's a gravel bike, but anyway, it's so nice.
You put a link on it. Actually, I was researching.
Because you as a manufacturer you need a bit of like standing to do things like that, but to have water bottle mounts on the top tube actually, which is what the On, they are called On bikes, aren't they? On one is another thing.
No.
How are they called? Gravel bike X-Cervelo. You know, it's the X-Cervelo guy that does it.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. Open cycle. That's what they call open cycles, and they have that bike that is called UP. It's called Unbeaten Path.
Ah.
UP Unbeaten Path. Open cycle.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, do that. Which is really an interesting concept. Don't say brilliant here because I haven't written it yet. And the UP, Unbeaten Path. And they have water bottle mounts on the top tube. And it's pretty much almost horizontal top tube. To mount a bag on it, and they have taken that idea from triathlon, because mm-hmm. they have that. They mount stuff on their bicycles. Ages ago, like 20 years ago, they had. Do you remember these triathletes that had the power bars? They licked the power bars and stuck that on a top tube.
No.
They had the power bars were invented with triathlon, I think.
Uh-huh.
So they had the power bar in three pieces or something like that you could easily have in your mouth, and then you lick on the piece and stuck it to the top tube. Looks ugly, but who cares? And so you don't want to have that sugar and whatever stuff on your top tube all the time. So they invented a bag to have on your bike. And that's why open bicycles or open cycle have mounts on the top tube, and triathlon bikes have that too, some of them. And Piaggio has one of these things too, but they don't have the guts, as they call it, to have a mount there. They just strap it with Velcros on it, which might be annoying because it might be flip around and get lost. But anyway,
they made the Vespa, and or they still make the Vespa, which is a pretty scooter.
I mean, they make these
the Sfera,
these maxi scooters too,
which are
and they make the MP3.
Yeah,
which all is right. Good, but not a, well. We are into ugly bikes, aren't we, today? So we go for the Moogs.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's a really ugly and
useless.
Useless and pointless.
Pointless, useless. Do we already have a link? What's that?
That's the movie, the video for the bike, which is strange. So
and I don't get that. I don't get the idea, because why you should.
So for the listener, please explain for our dear listeners what this bike looks like.
Okay, it looks like a scooter with fat bikes and pedals. A big guy scooter with fat bikes that have a strange diameter. Are they 22 inch or?
I have no idea.
So it's, they have a, you have a scooter and you have fat tires, really fat tires. What do you need a suspension for?
For the domping.
so they don't
bounce.
So it has pedals. You remember the some are still around, these ultra low step through bicycles for the almost disabled.
For the elderly.
For the elderly, yes.
Yeah. I don't know what it's really
deep.
In German, Tiefeinsteiger oder
Ultra Tiefeinsteiger.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Will that be the next hipster word? Ultra Tiefeinsteiger.
So, just say it again.
Ultra Tiefeinsteiger.
Listen and repeat.
So this thing, the Moogs, I really fear to start the movie again or the film, because it makes no sense to me. I don't know what that bike is good for. It looks as if it could at least not fall apart immediately or disintegrate. If you jump with it, it might. And do you remember the Philip Stark rental bike concept? It looked a bit like that. It had the same idea that you have a scooter combined with a bicycle. So you can scoot around very slow in sort of pedestrian areas. Which is okay, because how do you go through pedestrian areas or train stations? You step on one pedal and scoot through it. Yeah. And so on a bike like that, you can do that. So you just stand on the platform that you have or on the on the deck or whatever you call it, and then scoot there. It's a good idea, but it won't ever create a good-looking bike.
Yeah.
For a rental bike, who cares? You don't. They won't steal it. And who it's will steal one of these MOOCs?
It's so bikes? Unique. Everybody will notice it. So it's one of the main features of rental bikes, that they are unique. So they look ugly by purpose. So they won't. Nobody will steal them and sell them to the Netherlands.
How are these French called? The French.
They were rental from bikes. Bordeaux, I think.
Velo or something with V. Because I've seen one in Stuttgart.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody obviously took it with him. How are they called?
Pibal. Le Velo Pibal.
Velip. I mean the Velip.
No, the Velip is not from Philipp Stark.
No,
Velip is the bike from Paris.
This is it's ugly too, and it's from Paris. And I've seen one of these in Stuttgart actually, because you can't buy them; you have to steal them. And does the where was the Philipp Stark bike? Is it in Bordeaux then, or where? Did it went to production?
I don't know. I sent you a link.
To what, on Skype or where to?
No, iMessage. iMessage.
iMessage. It must be hard. Imagine you're a designer. And a large company.
Did you find it?
No. A large company comes to your office and says, build me a rental bike. There it is. But it has to be so ugly, nobody will steal it. It must be a difficult job. Imagine a clinic, you do, like inviting people and say, so what do you think of that thing? Would you rent it? Yeah. Would you buy it? No, never.
Well, that's how it works. So did you get the picture?
No, you
just search for Philipp Stark Pibal.
You happen to have an interview with Philipp Stark last year? Was it last year?
Yes. On the Mustache e-bikes.
Yeah. And Philipp Stark, Pibal bicycle. And Philipp Stark, I think that he's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to go out and eat with Philipp Stark and have and talk with him about whatever. I think he's really nice, although many of his things are really ugly. But they sell good. Or is ugly the right word? Strange?
Interesting?
Interesting, useless.
Do it in a new way, to do it at the minimum, and reach at the minimum. You cannot make less to squeeze a lemon except with your hand. And after, give him a different spirit, like that people will think about it, will speak about it. People will be strangely apprised because they have an object like that. And they will be proud of this object. And that means it's a win-win-win. That makes the function, better than other, and people have something to speak about it. For the bicycle, it's almost the same process. First, stay in the DNA, the magical DNA of the bicycle. Always the minimum, the intelligence of the minimum. This, the bicycle, is, I repeat, I'm sorry, the...
Shall I go on?
No.
So this
I really like his fur-covered e-bike.
Yes, I do as well. It's in number 49, Far Radio number 49 from I think it was last year, and you can hear the complete Philip Stark and Mustache interview, and he was just talking about his orange, what's it called? A juice press. I forgot the name.
It's got a name, but I don't care.
Yeah. So
and he was at the Eurobike because he did a collaboration with Mustache, a French bicycle brand, and he designed some e-bikes for them, and one was covered with fur.
That was the winter, really cool. The winter edition.
Fake fur, which is, as we all know, from cats.
Ah. So,
or whatever.
Other bikes to talk about? Well, there is a scooter we can talk about, which is actually quite good.
And not that ugly.
It still doesn't have a kickstand or something like that. So I'm waiting for that. It's called the Flyklai Smart Pet. And it's an electric scooter, an electric, what's it called?
Kickboard.
Not kickboard. No.
Hmm?
Like a small push scooter.
Yeah.
And it has the Flyklai, engine in the rear wheel, and it's activated when you push the scooter. So if you push lightly on the street, the engine assists you. I tried one of those prototype on the Eurobike, and it was fun. So this might but it looked different than the one on the Kickstarter campaign, which was triple funded, which it had 100,000 euros as a it as a seal, as a funding. They wanted 100,000 euro funding and received 300,000 euros. So this scooter seems to be quite popular. They also
had prototypes. I'm on their website, and they just want my email address, and I try to find that.
All right, I go there too. So the smart pet, yes, and they had
That's foldable. Was the other one foldable too? And then
no, it wasn't. So it wasn't foldable and it looked different. It was just a standard scooter. Mm. So this looks better. And I saw they had they were in Stuttgart. Oh, they were in Stuttgart last week on November the 16th in Amsterdam. And they were in Cologne on November the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the next? So today is the 23rd. Tomorrow they are in Vienna on tour with the scooter. So you can experience it if you're in Vienna. Anyway, this is nice looking scooter and a good idea that you have an assisted kick so it rides well.
And the annoying thing on scooters is scooting uphill.
Mm-hmm.
That is really
actually I couldn't try that on at the Eurobike, so this would have been interesting, but as the engine kicks in when it's moved, it might as well push you up the hill.
Yeah, of course it does.
Well, but I don't know how fast.
That's the thing that makes sense on a scooter.
Mm.
Because these scooters where you stand on it and there are many around where you just push a button and then it goes and you stand on the battery on that boxy sort of foldable thing with very small wheels. They are useless. I mean, they work and people use them, but they look stupid on them and it's not really fun. And these, they have real wheels. Are they 20 inch or 16?
Actually, when I looked, one of our readers noticed me visiting the bike shop.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's on Swarm. Just like me, and I checked. Swarm is one of those location-based services. It's a part of Foursquare. Do you know Foursquare?
I know, but I don't use it.
All right, so Swarm is like the check-in part of Foursquare, which I still use. And I checked in at the bike store in Bonn, and the Joas, our listener from Bonn, liked my check-in. So he knew, he knows that I was there, and I can tell him what I bought. I bought a Specialized Fuse Comp 6 Fatty bicycle. Really. Which is a really memorable name. So if anybody asks you, that's what it's called. It's a hardtail with low fat tires. I won't go into much detail. And I last weekend I went for my first longer ride with it to Königsforst, which is a forest outside of in the outskirts of Cologne, and road racers or go there, so they ride on the streets in the Königsforst, which is quite popular for roadies over there. They meet at the Schnitzelbutt, which is a kiosk in Königsforst at the train station, and from there they ride through the Königsforst. And I found a tour which was called Maximum Trail Genuss. What is Genuss? Well, the best trails in Königsforst, all in one route, and it was wet and muddy, but it was which are good conditions for a bike with fat tires.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I put a link to the route in the show notes. I made some. I put some pictures in as well. There are sheep. I made a picture of sheep, and there's even some. I even found some shaped hills between the trees. You can even jump there, and there there are some. Well,
did anybody work there?
Well, not
so. Were they man-made?
They were man-made, yes, but they're very small. And like small curves, and well, the bike is great. I did have as it was new, I had to adjust the seat from a bit because I didn't know how high to set in and set it a bit to the front, but it has a dropper seat post, so you can adjust it while you ride. And well, for its with the 3-inch tires, it really rolls well on the forest, and large puddles are no problem at all. So you can go through the mud. It has a 1x10 drivetrain, so because it's a rather cheap bicycle, I only have 10 gears at the back, but a very small gear on the front sprocket, which looks nice and is quite practical because you can climb over trees and you nothing stops. So the weather was great. I looked at the weather before and noticed that it was going to rain in the afternoon, so I went quite early. Yes, I met some other mountain bikers on my way. On the second half of the route, I met other mountain bikers that overtook me. And one said, "So this is a plus bike, isn't it?" And they showed me I rode a while with them, and they didn't want to ride on trails on their way back because trails were too muddy, but they showed me where to get to the next single trails. So it's a great bike for the winter, and when I came home, I took the hose and washed the mud away and put the bike back in the house. So that's a nice thing.
So you're content?
Yes.
Content except of the dent. How's the dent doing?
The dent. Yes, it has the first when I took the bike out of the car when I returned from the dealer, the handlebar flipped over and the lever of the shifting lever smashed against the top tube. Well, smashed isn't the right word. It touched the top tube a bit and left a small dent on the dark red frame. So I thought I might need something to stop it from repeating that, but I haven't. But I think I don't mind anymore. So I don't care about
first
that.
First dent is the deepest.
Mm. Huh? Yeah. So, well, that might be just about it.
Yeah.
I have one. So maybe our listeners, dear listeners, I'm writing you, as we are approaching Christmas quite fast, we probably might do something of a best of episode with best of 2015, and you might we'd be quite happy if you sent us your best bikes of the year, best books of the year. So we might present it.
Hallo,
like that.
Herzlich willkommen zu einem neuen Video von mir. Heute gibt es endlich den ersten Teil meiner Lieblingsbücher.
We are going to present it like that, probably. So send us your favorite bicycle books, bicycle movies, not the books themselves, but your proposals for the best bicycle book, best bicycle movie, best bicycle accessory, or whatever. So we like to hear from you. Do you have a favorite bicycle book of the year?
No, not really.
Right, you can. Well, we can talk about.
I'll think about it
in the next episode, which is going to be Fahrradio number 75.
Maybe.
All right. So shall we
maybe look forward to it?
Do we have sometimes we have picks like favorite stuff we found or bought or whatever? Do you have something
one?
You can recommend to our listeners?
I don't have one. Pick today.
But we have two things. You bought a jacket, didn't you?
Yeah. I've been searching for a jacket. Sort of a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a word in English for a jacket like that?
Don't know.
So actually it's got it's a two-button jacket from wool, and because I've been looking for ages, I think, for jacket to cycle with, put my phone in, put my money in, and not too much, but all the phone and keys and things, like a jacket that looks smart but not too smart,
mm-hmm.
and is comfortable and can wear it with the jeans and wear it in the office and go out with it or whatever. And I've seen jackets made especially for cycling that cost so much and have some features that I don't really want. I don't want a reflector on it, for instance, and I don't want a back pocket like on a cycling,
mm-hmm.
on a cycling shirt. I don't want that because it's ugly. It might be, if it's done good, that it could be all right, but I don't want that because if I really want to go cycling, I wear other stuff. But it's just for like urban riding or whatever. And so the thing is, with us being that thin and have long hands, long arms and short legs, some
which aren't short, actually, as I was told.
They aren't short, but, yes.
But never
for
mind.
Our size.
Never mind.
But for our size, if you're like one close to 190 and have legs with 89, they aren't that long. They aren't ultra long. But anyway, they reach the floor. And though I just bought I came to a shop that's called Pursuits, and they have suits, and I don't want suits because I don't wear suits, but I want a jacket. And I thought, okay, I go in anyway. And they had one of these jackets. It's just a simple dark blue woolen jacket, relatively affordable. And they have size 94, which is not very popular and which fits me perfectly. I'm really content with it. So if you want a jacket like that or want a suit, if you wear suits, because suits are smart, but I'm not a suit guy. And if you are a suit guy, then go to Pursuits. They have a few shops in Germany, I think 3, more in the south. And yeah, have a look. Or just don't just look at the very cycling specific. Just try to use another thing. Like, what was her name that we talked to her in Berlin? She said that she's not into cycling specific.
Mm-hmm.
Cloth, but finds ways to wear the stuff she wants to wear.
What's her name? She's from Cologne.
Yeah.
And has this. What's the name?
She's doing that blog too, where she talks about how to put up the makeup properly, that it will last the cycling trip.
Yes, but I just try. I got She also sells a small accessory for women to hold the skirt while cycling.
Do you know what I mean? So it's not like a dogma that you, as you're a cyclist,
yes,
you just have to wear cycling clothes.
Yeah. I just can't remember her name at the moment.
All That I Want.
All That I Want, yes. All that. They have a new rainwear collection. Do you are you on the website right now? They have large.
Yeah, I try to find her. The All That I Want team. Eva.
She's Eva. Yes.
Yeah.
It's Eva. Eva that's Moore. Eva Moore.
That's Eva Moore.
Eva Moore. And her her partner lives. Her partner Mila. They have this shop together. Lives in Hawaii. She lives
Honolulu.
In works, yes. So, and they have.
And they sell bicycle tattoos. Nice idea. Like wall tattoos, they have bicycle tattoos. And leggings, wow. I'm impressed. That's a good pick, huh? Eva from All That I Want.
So, originally I had another pick, but I'll just take this because I just bought a regular bland bicycle jacket. My first bicycle jacket ever, I think. Which is warm, snuggly, and doesn't look that bad. it's padded. All right. Padded with Prima Loft.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
All that so. I want. All right. So this was our very first all English edition. And
with hardly any German in it.
Yes. And next time we might just switch back to our mother language, shall we?
Oh, mother tongue.
Mother tongue, ah. Once again, a big thank you to our sponsor, SRAM. If you want to know about them, just go to their website on www.sram.com. All right. So, my name is Hans.
Mine, Thomas.
Hear you next time.
You too. Like Keith Jarrett, or Glenn Gould, or Wim Wenders, many musicians are hummers.
Bitte?
Many musicians are hummers.
Ja, wie heißt denn der Pianist, der mit den Bach?
Glenn Gould.
Glenn Gould. Der summt auch immer mit, oder?
Mm. Ja.
Ich werde es dann einfach ausfaden lassen.